about personal finance. He provides insight into making the most on your money using over 20 years of experience. Money Matters is brought to you in part by Petso Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank, with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Petso, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional and an investment advisor representative with Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated. Registered representative securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisor representative Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated and Petso Financial Consultants are not affiliated companies. And now the host of Money Matters, Dave Petso.
Hello and good morning and welcome to 2015. Now, the question of the day, of course, has to be the silliness of predictions, right? I mean, what do we think is going to happen in 2015? What do we think? You know, the market up 8.3%. Yeah, you hear it all the time. You know, we got the S&P finishing, you know, at 2353. Really? What a made up number that is. You see, the thing is about these all these numbers. Is it really? There's kind of a consensus feel to it. And, of course, we know that the market never does normal anyway. And I'll come back to that later. But what I'm going to talk about are some things that I do think are going to happen in 2015. Maybe it's more broad-based than trying to pick a number on the S&P, which, of course, I don't think makes sense. But the good thing about this is not just the funny exercise and making fun of everybody's predictions, because they don't come true, is it's a point we stop at. And we stop and we look around and we decide whether we think that something is cheap or dear. It's a stop point to reevaluate what we should be thinking about. And maybe even being worried about. So I think it has value, although not as much value as to your wallet as, quotes, entertainment value. And I'm not sure it's real entertaining to hear people predicting what the market is going to do. But that shouldn't stop us from stopping from time to time. One of the things that's funny, though, to me, is that we arbitrarily decide that the market needs to be measured January 1st to December 31st every year. I mean, it's kind of an arbitrary thing. It's not like, why not April 3rd to April 3rd or April 3rd to December 23rd and then December 24th to, you know, like a year and a half later. It's totally arbitrary and it totally changes everything. Why? Well, because for some weird reason, we decide that this 12-month period is a determinant of how performance is. Not a trailing 3-year period or 5-year period or 10 years. So we look at different areas, and it's just interesting to me that we make this decision of, on a 1-year basis, this is what we're going to focus on. Are we winning or are we losing against some benchmark? When for example, you know, I've talked about this before, there's a fund group out there that has been just destroyed the index over longer periods. But it's like a coin flip year to year. Okay, let me phrase that again. Over 3-year, 5-year, and then when you get out to 10, 20 year, it's like almost every time that they beat the index, 90%. Some ridiculous amount. We can pull up the exact numbers because I've got them in my giant book of, you know, exact numbers over here. But you get the point. We take these long range, right? We live in a world that is like, I want lifetime income. Lifetime. Not 1 year. But lifetime income I can't outlive. But we measure by 1 year. Weird. And that 1 year is, you know, January to January. It's weird. But it's done so much, we never even question the validity of the measurement. Now, that's not to take away, as I just said before, it's important to stop periodically, but it doesn't have to be in December or January, where we stop and we go, I wonder what the next year is going to be like. I wonder what's cheap in here. We should be asking the question all of the time, but we don't. So we'll play the game too, and I want you to play today as well. What do you think 2015 will bring? What do you think? So our question today, what is coming in 2015? Something maybe, yeah, you can pull it off the newspaper. It's okay. But also, let me open it up by kind of thinking about some things out loud with you that strike me as important developments of 2015, of this time frame. You know, one of them I will start with, that's fine, because this one is not an arbitrary 2015. It actually just about starts in 2015. Why? Because the new Congress and Senate are going to be seated. Really, here in, what, a couple weeks? A week? 10 days? 10 days? Either way, soon. Very soon. And they're already going to work. And I know. When it comes to politics, I know. I know what you're saying. They're not going to get along. It's not going to work. And the Republicans this, the Republicans that. Here's what I think. And you're free to disagree. Please do give us a call. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's dave@petsofinancial.net is our email address. But I believe that 2015 is going to usher in a much better political climate. The do-nothing, particularly Senate, Harry Reid is out. Nasty Harry Reid, the do-nothing governor, Lord of the Senate, did nothing. Stopped every piece of legislation. They didn't even have a budget for, what, 3-4 years? Nothing. The only thing allowed would be some anti-business legislation. Let's hurry and push through any kind of tax increase, any kind of new regulations we could find. Particularly, I know, let's come up with one that's so nasty, so out there, as to be off the charts. But let's push it through without one bipartisan, one Republican vote. Healthcare. We don't want to know what's in it. We have to hurry up and pass it so we can know what's in it, as his counterpart, Nancy Pelosi, said in the House. That's what we've had for 5 years. 6 years. Stopping everything. This has changed. It's done. And across the country, different state houses too, which nobody talks about. It's all about, you know, just what's going on in Washington, D.C. But across the country, state after state, threw out Democrats and put in Republicans. And I know, you know, they'll have to do this, they'll have to do that, or they'll throw them out again. Of course. But why do we have to assume every time, that all politicians are stupid, that they are going to do nothing, that they're going to be just the same? No, they're not all just the same. Ronald Reagan wasn't at all like Jimmy Carter. He wasn't. He wasn't at all like this guy. Bill Clinton, a Democrat, wasn't like this guy. Politics are changing. Harry Reid is out. The political atmosphere in Washington, D.C. is going to get better. We may even have the beginnings. I'm not saying it's going to happen in the next couple of months. We may have the beginnings of some tax bills. Now you don't believe that. Nothing can happen. But just think about what this election said. And the reason I bring this up also, I just want to say, nobody's talking about this as having any kind of a positive impact to markets, to the economy overall, to our both our dialogue and our outlook, our confidence, our swagger. The idea that we threw out the left, particularly the far left, that said, we're smarter than the collective. We know what you need to do. Excuse me. We know what is better for the collective, not individuals. It's individuals operating in their own freedom, by their own design, for their own benefit, don't really know what us academics know is best for them. So we'll take over. That's gone. It has been repudiated just when people thought, what has happened to my country? How do we come out of this? You know how we come out of it? We come out of it with elections. And we throw them out. It's an amazing thing, and everybody doesn't want to talk about it. I don't know why. I know that the mainstream press, I totally get that. They're not going to talk about it because they lost. They're clearly clear-cut. They don't report news. They just only report what fits the left-leaning crowd. I get that. And it's really incredibly, amazingly disgusting and sad. No question about it. But beyond that, I still haven't heard people, you know, talking about this complete sea change in Washington, D.C. Give them a chance, and let's not just write it off as politics as usual. We have no idea. This makes the assumption that all of these, and I saw some of these people talking, like just like you, on the election night when they were elected. There's a whole bunch of really, really, really smart people. This is business people. This isn't academics. I mean, we have a president that hasn't run a snow cone stand. Why do we think he would understand anything? How could he understand and have empathy with people who have lost a business, worked hard, done it? They haven't wanted everything in life. This president has. It's different now. It's different now. And I think that's just one I wanted to toss out. And I want to hear from you. What do you think coming up in 2015 is going to be an impacting thing? It doesn't have to be, what do I think that the market's going to do? Where do you think we're going to be focusing? Like, what do you think interest rates are going to do this coming year? Do you think there's some sectors that have any particular upside potential or downside? Is there anything, any new technologies that are like, hey, I don't hear people talking about this near enough because it's a ground changer. This could like knock Facebook off or something like that. What do you think? We started off, the opening salvo, if you will, is a bit of better political climate is very, very helpful to the economy, to our consciousness, to our confidence, and to the market. I think it is. I think it's a big deal what's happening. The anti-business, do nothing, stop everything, Harry Reid is out. He's gone. This is big, really big. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We got to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll take Jim on the phone and hopefully take you. 580-KIDO. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzel. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580 is our number. 580 5436 is our number. Excuse me, I guess 580 wouldn't quite get you anywhere, would it? 580-5436 is our number. And again, the question of the day, what kind of big picture thing do you think is looming for 2015? Now let's go to Jim. Jim, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Morning, Dave. How's it going?
Good, good.
And happy new year.
Thank you. You too.
Well, I dare say, if I dare be so presumptuous, that I think I know as much as anybody on Wall Street, and I don't even have a degree I do have a degree in accounting, but not in economics or finance, but I have absolutely no idea. I would say that, you know, in my opinion, things will continue that way they have been going. I mean, you know, and see, the thing is, you might say, you know, for the last 6 years, with the anti-business people, so to speak, in power, you know, mm-hmm. the stock market has done very well.
Right.
Me personally, I've got no complaints. So, you know, I mean, you could say, for instance, you know, with the anti-business people in power, I mean, somebody could say, well, it's gone up 100%. And you could say, yeah, but without them, it could have gone up 200%.
Right. So now they're gone, and so maybe better things, even better things happen.
Who knows? But the idea, I think the idea has been, you know, no regulation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if Congress did nothing, that would be good. I mean, granted, they are a waste of money because, you know, they're being paid. And so when they do nothing, people say, how come we're paying these guys when they don't do anything?
Yeah.
So maybe not doing anything is good.
It is. Well, you know, we talk about it at our office, a lot, because it is, you know, there's so much noise out there. There's always this idea that we should be doing something, when really the wisest decision you can make most all of the time is to sit on your hands. Don't run around rash and making changes. And our whole system of government was designed to be slow, tedious, and very difficult to change. Thank goodness it is, because you've got a guy in office that right now is changing things with executive order. Imagine if it was easy.
You know, when the whole thing was set up. But you know, it's kind of funny, right? I mean, you know, the right to bear arms. I mean, you know, that was when people had muskets, and, you know, they could throw fire maybe 3 shots in a minute. Now they get AK-47s. But the way the government was set up was supposedly these guys would do their business in Washington or wherever for 2 weeks, and then they'd go back to their farms and be regular people and have regular jobs.
Right.
And so now, you know, so anyway, the whole thing has changed.
Well, it has. There's no question about it. It's not as simplistic as we make it out to be, but at the same time, it is good that government changing rules is difficult to do. That's not, shouldn't be easy. That's really the point. Dictatorship, it's easy. Now we're going to go this way now, and everybody goes that way, or they lose their head. So it's just not. I like our system as clunky as it is.
Yep, but I don't know. But you know, I don't know. Whatever. The only thing you can do is just invest, and if you want to, you can pray a lot and not worry about it. But I don't. You know, what do you think?
Well, I think the political situation to that point is going to get better. And I think it's materially impacting on the. It's going to be materially impacting on the economy, our consciousness, and confidence going forward. I really do.
Well, hopefully it'll be for the entire world economy. You know.
Yes, I know. But I think that's we're clearly leading as far as economic growth right now. We'll see. There are lots of problems all over the world. There's no question about it. They're just having a hard time igniting their economy. And of course, at some point in time, we've got to deal with the trillions of dollars sitting on the Federal Reserve's balance sheet. So it's an interesting time we live. It'll be very, very interesting going forward.
But the deficits have been coming down, right?
The deficit? Yes. Yes, the annual deficit, not the total deficit.
Right,
no.
Right.
No, we're still in deficit, no doubt about it. And I think one of those things that was really misleading, I probably will have to get into this a little bit in the next segment, but it was very interesting to me as people, because we all think that, you know, the government wastes a lot of money. I mean, everybody thinks that, even if you're on the far left and you think that's okay for the government to waste money. Still, nobody thinks that government is efficient. And but it is interesting when we look at the overall budget. Well, if they would, you hear people say it all the time, if they just wouldn't spend so much money, say, on defense. Well, like what? Should we just, like, shut down the defense? No, no, no. But you know what I mean. Like too much on a bolt or a toilet seat and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think that would do to the budget? Well, you know, then we could do lots of stuff for all these other programs. Well, no, you couldn't. No, no. You see, defense is like 17% of the total budget. That's it. That's all. So do we pay the soldiers? Yeah, of course we pay the soldiers, you moron. Well, okay. Then, well, that would be the biggest part, though, would be like salaries. So should we have less soldiers? I don't know. Just stop it. Can't we just save some money on bolts and toilet seats? You see, it's very difficult when we talk about that. You can't just suddenly decide that it's okay if we just move a little bit around here and there, we're going to suddenly be there. This is a big, big deficit problem, and government is so stinking big.
Yeah, well, the whole thing is, you know, it's easy to spend when it's somebody else's money.
Yep.
And you mentioned, for instance, you know, you hear the old thing about, the government spending $600 for a toilet seat, right?
Right.
Your average person wouldn't do that. But the same thing with insurance, with medical insurance, you know. People, if insurance pays for it, they really don't give a damn what it costs. They look at the premium they're paying and think I should get something for it. But, I mean, they don't really, if they're able to, they don't really look at the bill because they're not paying it.
Right.
And, but, you know, bring up to the hospital, why are you charging the insurance company $5 for an aspirin, you know?
Right.
I mean, people just don't because it's not their money.
That's right, but you do when it's your own. Trust me, I have a very large deductible. Actually, I finally hit my deductible in 2014. First time ever I've even hit my deductible.
Was that about December 20th?
Yeah, right. I had a knee surgery this year, so I hit it earlier, yeah.
Well, anyway.
But the point is I know exactly what you mean. But when you're writing the check yourself, it can be eye-opening how much a blood test and things like that costs.
Yeah, you start thinking about costs and you know, whatever. And that's the sad thing about the inflation of everything.
Yep.
Well, anyway, I mean, I don't think, just wait and find out. But, you know, as far as, January 1st is December 31st, you know, it's an arbitrary date.
Yep.
But you got to choose something, so why not that?
Right, I agree. I'm just saying it's really interesting to me because it's such a short term, 1 year. Well, 1 year is not that short. Yeah, actually it is. And when we think about it, you're measuring 1 year when what we really want are 3 year, 5 year, lifetime results.
True, but I mean, people need to put the 1 years together.
Well, they do. But also, if you put the 1 years together and you're not thinking in terms of the grand overall, then you really can be misled. Meaning you're chasing what was hot.
Well, you know, the thing is, if 1 year goes up like 15%, you might be thinking maybe next year is going to be down a tad bit, you know, to average it out.
Right. You can. So, all right, Jim, I got to roll.
Take care. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Dave at PETSO, not the sauce, PETSO, Financial.net. We'll be right back after Fox News.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. This is Money Matters with Dave Petso on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Welcome and Happy New Year. Welcome to 2015. And that's what we're talking about today. The big question, right? Yeah, it's anything you want to talk about, of course. But my big question for you is this. What do you think 2015 will bring? And it can be an outlier type of thing. Outlier? What kind of thing do you think? I mean, what possibly they aren't talking about that you think could happen in 2015? I know it's an arbitrary 12-month period of time. But it is interesting that we stop and we think about that during this time. Right now, let's go to the phones. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's go to Bob. Bob, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Good morning. Happy New Year to you.
Just a regular question.
Perfect.
I have the option in my 401k plan for global bond fund. Why do I need that? Does it move similar to a U.S. bond fund? And if I can get 3% in another sector that I may be happier with or confident, mm-hmm. why? Because I never had a foreign or global bond fund. Why would I need a global bond fund?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's really a currency diversifier. Okay. So right now, the answer is you don't, because the U.S. is strong, okay? The U.S. dollar is strong. The reason to use it is twofold. If interest rates, for example, in emerging markets are higher, and they are, if right now those currencies are really down and everybody hates the sector, there can be some pretty strong bargains there. So I wouldn't toss it out, but I don't really think you need it as an allocation, which is really the core of your question, right?
Yes.
Yeah, to me it's just a sector. It's like a sector. I don't know. The U.S. is, the dollar doesn't seem to be, we have more inflation than other places in the world. I think I should probably have some diversification from my currency. That's the thought process. To me, that's like a sector. I need it sometimes. I need it not all the time. What's that?
Does it move similar then to a U.S. bond fund? If you look at it, I haven't looked at it historically. Would I see that? Oh, it moves just like the U.S. bond fund does, or would I see it moving in opposite or
some correlation, but no, far less than you think. It's not opposite. It's not opposite at all. It's what we would call non-correlated. It
okay.
doesn't necessarily move with the U.S., but it's not counter. It's not a hedge against it either.
So am I waiting for a disaster to happen, or is it, in other words, oh, I have my 5% in this. Oh, it's not doing a whole lot for me. Maybe I should just get a U.S. bond fund. I mean, how am I determining whether it's something I want? If I'm well diversified, you can be too diversified. And
you can.
And everything from mining to mm-hmm. baseball caps to all kinds of stuff to drive you nuts with all your funds.
I agree. First of all, I think that the one place to have a global bond fund now, and I think I've identified a very, very good manager. So I'm comfortable as he moves the money around the world. But it's also a small piece of a global balanced fund that I use a lot. Okay?
Okay.
So I'm comfortable with that kind of on an ongoing basis. But I'll tell you what that fund tells me a lot about right now. And then I'll circle back to your specific question. Do you need it? Okay, and the answer is you don't need it. So I wouldn't spend a lot of time. Okay, but let me circle back to it and tell you when I use it. But what it is right now is that in this particular balanced fund, its weighting is the minimum. It's a minimum. It's like it's 80% stocks now and 20% bonds. That's how structurally they feel about it. That bonds global, bonds U.S., we don't want. There isn't any advantage to have them, particularly over stocks. And so they're basically at a minimum level. So, Bob, to answer your question, I don't think it's necessary for you to even worry that much about it. But as a sector, if you think there's value there, and I do in emerging market debt relative to other debt, then I can have a small percentage there. But do I have to from a normal ongoing allocation? I do not. No.
And I've had a small part in emerging stocks, and, that goes all over the place.
Yep.
Just wondering about, maybe to have the same amount of small portion with the global bond. That's what I'm considering.
Right. And you can, but it's also, they've also got emerging market debt. I just, as I look at the world today, right, do I really want global bonds, for example? And I'm going to talk about this in much more detail later, in Italy that has the same interest rate as the U.S. Who buys that? I don't know, other than the ECB. I don't know who would buy that. You buy the safer one for the same yield. That's going to be U.S. all the time. So right now, the interest rates are so low all over the world. They're lower than the U.S. Lower than the U.S. So I don't see any need for a general global bond fund. Emerging markets? Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, yes, because they're so beaten up that, kind of like energy as a sector, is this sector beaten up? Yes. Then you can go ahead and have an allocation there. Should I make an allocation that's big? No. As sectors should not be overweighted. 5%. If it falls more, you could go all the way to 10 in the sector. But that's it. That's it.
So did you say global bond funds now are beaten up or not?
No. Emerging market funds.
Okay.
Okay, a little different category.
Okay.
Do I think global bonds are beat up? No. German bonds are yielding like 1%. I want nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob. Have a good day. Bye-bye. I just don't think, I think it's a great question. I don't think it's necessary for people. If you follow markets closely, then once in a while it can be a, quote, sector bet. That's it. That's it. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. The question is 2015. I've got the big surprise coming up, my prediction, in our education segment at the beginning of the next hour. But I'd like to hear your thoughts on 2015. Or how about this? This is a better way. This is our thought process here, right? So we don't just make fun of the fact that people make predictions. Because obviously the top prediction, the one I'm absolutely certain will happen in 2015, is that most of the predictions will be wrong. Almost all of them will be wrong. And I'll predict here and now that that will be true in 2016, 17, and so on, right? We know that. But what we're saying now is at this arbitrary time, the end of this calendar year, we are looking forward, not just for the next 12 months, but the next years. What looks cheap, what looks dear, what might we be thinking about is on the horizon, both good and bad. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Love to hear from you. If you prefer email, it's dave@petzofinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. It's with Dave Petzo on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I don't want to say we're predicting, you know, 2015. More we're reflecting on maybe where we are in this particular time, like we often do, right, in the middle of the year. It's just that we're all playing that 2015 game. But it's 2015 and beyond, right? In other words, what areas, what maybe just overall cultural thing? Okay, I shared with you one that I haven't heard a lot of people talk about it. I haven't heard anybody talk about it. That I think is a huge impact earlier, and that was what's going on politically. That's huge. I know it's much better to stand around, rant, rave, and talk about how everything's just going to heck in a handbasket. Man, it is. Everything is bad. It's all bad. It's all bad all of the time. And this new Congress isn't going to do anything either. That's got to be really good. Culturally, coffee shop talk. It's all bad and it's going to get worse. That's right, that's right, Martha. It's going to get worse. Never been good, going to get worse. Why do we have elections? To do what happened. What just happened? What just happened was monumental. It doesn't matter if the mainstream press, who's all left-leaning and all in love with Obama, who hasn't done anything, guess who's doing stuff now, right? Obama is. You don't have to agree with everything he's doing, but he's like trying to make nice and get along. This could be the Bill Clinton pivot for the last 2 years. Maybe it's not. But either way, we now have a do-nothing. I swear we won't get anything done in the Senate, Harry Reid. Out. No more anti-business legislation. Out. Done. We won't have a sixth of the economy destroyed in a monstrosity called a health care bill. Won't happen. It doesn't mean we're all going to get it all repealed, and if it all doesn't go back to perfect hunky-dory and everything you personally agree with, then it doesn't really matter. It does matter. It matters. It matters. The climate is better. It's a lot better. Maybe you have a thought or two. 2015. I'm going to share with you at the beginning of the next hour, when I call it a surprise one. I don't think it's a surprise at all. I think you'll agree 100% with me on this one. But the reason I want to talk about an education segment is because I think it opens up a couple of other thoughts as we move forward. So it doesn't have to be happening in 2015. What do you think culturally? What do you think is an important thought of what's going on in our world, in our country right now? other than, of course, the Broncos winning the Fiesta Bowl again. Other than that, which was awesome. Wasn't that just awesome? Was that fun game to watch? Man alive, that was awesome. That was so great. All right, I have to take a quick break. Now we're at the end of the hour, so I'm going to take it right now and give people a chance to give us a call. Give us your thoughts at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And, of course, any question is always welcome. Bob just had a great question about asset allocation. That really was a good question, Bob. Thank you for chiming in. It's also Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello and welcome and Happy New Year to everybody. We're having a little fun with the 2015, thinking about that arbitrary time where we now have to decide for the next 12 months what's going to happen. And, of course, we're going to change that up a little bit, right? We're talking about things that are maybe a bigger swing, if you will. It may occur this year, may take years, right? But it's a trend in place. And I started off talking about the political climate. And why I picked that was because, well, basically nobody else is talking about it because nothing works. Nothing works in D.C. ever, won't be any good ever. And it's so negative that this sea change that occurred in the November elections is just completely discounted. And I think I do think it's going to have a major impact. But I'd like to hear from you what you think is going on out there. And I'll share my surprise and a little bit of education about it in our education segment upcoming here after Fox News at the top of the hour. Before we get there, though, there is some broad things that I think we want to cover just kind of in the news, if you will, in this world of this question that I always get, right? Market going up, you know, it can't keep going up, can it, Dave? Right. I mean, some even those exact words or some almost exact verbiage to that. Market can't keep going up, can it? And then the second part is this. Will it drop after the new year? Like again, after December, we have this cut that says, and I want to ask this question back. Why? Why would it on January 2nd, would it drop? Which it did, by the way. Why would it drop? Why would we then, you know, we got to the end of the year, and now we made it to the end of the year. Now let's just celebrate. What has changed? And it's interesting, and that whole thought says this. People do not understand at all. And this is not a put down at all. They don't understand at all what drives markets and why the market moves higher. It isn't just this thing that moves up and down. It's not a roulette wheel. Sometimes red, sometimes black. Sometimes black for a while, and then it's red for a while, and it bounces back and forth. It isn't this thing. It's not a gambling game. It is based on something. What? Earnings. Earnings, dividends, cash flow. Future earnings, dividend, cash flow is what we buy when we buy stocks. When we own them, we keep owning them for future dividends, earnings, cash flow. Not because I think it's going to be red again. Hang on. It's going to be red. It's not a gamble game. And for some reason, we have got this all twisted up weirdly into this kind of like, well, it can't go up forever. But it does go up forever. It goes to all-time highs. But in between, we have corrections, which we don't accept as normal occurrences. They should have been known. Looking in hindsight, we knew the market wasn't going to be bad. It was too much leverage, too much housing, and housing went down. So we should have known that. We did know that. I knew that. Didn't you know that? And we don't ride them through. Or when we get to the end of those, right, when we get crushed, then we want to take our money out and we want to move it to something else that's safer. Yeah, we sell low again. And then when things look really good like they do right now, or do they look really good? I mean, it's got to come down, doesn't it? Sometime, and everybody's been waiting for thousands of points for the big correction that hasn't occurred because the market can't be timed. I know Warren Buffett, Peter Lynch, Michael Price, and John Templeton are really smart people, and I want to read everything they have, except for the chapter on market timing, because I can do that. You can't do that. And we can't seem to wrap our minds around the idea that we can't do that, shouldn't do that, or ask or this arbitrary line of December 15th. So I'm endeavoring in 2015 to try to run to some basic thoughts, a basic why do markets do what they do? What is the stock market? What are stocks? What are bonds? As I know what they are. You might, but not a lot of people don't. They don't. And so we want to kind of touch on those things and bring everybody up to speed. We don't have to have tiny picture. We want big picture. We'll be back after Fox News.
You probably have it all over your house. Cash potential on shelves and closets and especially in the garage. It's all waiting to make you money at the 8th annual Idaho's Largest Garage Sale. If you've got stuff that you don't use anymore, sell it for extra cash at Idaho's Largest Garage Sale. Saturday, May 16th at Expo Idaho. Thousands of buyers will flock to Expo Idaho for one day to score great bargains and give you some extra cash. Start organizing and reserve your booth space now. All the details are at Idaho's Largest Garage Sale.com.
Attention, world travelers. Join Global Travel for the largest travel event of the year, Saturday, January 3rd, 9 to 2, at 900 West Jefferson in downtown Boise. Mark your calendar now and meet Global's travel partners from world-famous cruise and tour companies offering savings up to 50%, free upgrades, shipboard credit, complimentary shore excursions, and the best values of the year to destinations worldwide. Global Travel believes the...
Happy New Year, and welcome to hour number two of Money Matters. And, of course, these are my opinions only. And they are not this station, my broker-dealer. We're not here to talk about what to buy, and sell. That's nonsense, and really, it is nonsense. I think we all know that. But there's plenty of programs out there to do that. And we're here to maybe try, if we can, right, to think about things on a longer-term basis in a world that thinks so short-term. Right? And to maybe turn the coin over and look at the other side. You know, everybody's talking about, you know, energy prices are good or energy prices are bad. Let's look at the opposite of what it is. And is there something to learn from the other side? Is there something to maybe, not that everybody else is wrong, but maybe there are certain assumptions that are not wrong. Like rising interest rates, a classic one that we've talked many times in this program. Rising interest rates are bad for stocks. Accepted, repeated, over and over. All the time on business news, but it's absolutely not true. And as people have been saying that, the market has continued to climb. And, of course, today we're talking about what's coming up. Not necessarily in 2015, maybe the longer term, but just we're in that arbitrary time where we all stop and the gym's fill up, right, because everybody's going to go on a diet. And we're all going to be a better person in some way. We have certain things, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing to stop and say, how can I get better? What should I be better at, right? How should I eat better? Drink less. Stop smoking for a big one or whatever it is, right? Be a better person. Try to see the world differently, right? All those things, it's good. This is good. It's good. But it is kind of an arbitrary time. It's something perhaps we ought to be contemplating. What's cheap? What's dear? All the time? I think the great investors do that, right? And so we're going to do that. We talk about that. But today, if you have any thoughts, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear about anything you want to talk about, always. And if you prefer to do that on email, that's okay. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. Now, I said this was kind of a surprise. It's probably not a big surprise. But I don't think interest rates are going to rise this year. At least not the one that matters. But thus, we get into our education segment. I think this is so critically important to understand because there's so much noise on interest rates rising. What is the Fed going to do? Fed's going to raise rates. Fed's going to raise rates. At the Fed's meeting, what do the minutes say? Oh, my gosh. And the market moves. It moves like nothing. But, you know, it's noise. It makes a lot of noise for a moment, and reporters breathlessly run around like the Fed. And for a long time, all I've heard is, wait, Dave, just wait. This market's going to tank just as soon as the Fed steps aside, quits buying bonds. As soon as they get out of the way, Fed is dead. Okay. I mean, that can be a belief, but I never understood why we didn't still participate in the market while they were, right? I just never understood why you know, you weren't really wrong that the market was going higher and you were bearish. It just was because of circumstances that you know, were out of your control or being controlled, and that made it somehow phony. I never understood that. But here we are with the Fed has stepped aside completely buying bonds. Okay? They're not buyers anymore. And we're at all-time highs. Okay, yeah, you're right. We had a down day. We're like 1% off of all-time highs. But we're at all-time highs. And they started tapering a year ago. So here we are in an environment of breathlessly waiting for the Federal Reserve to burp anything. If they change a word, they breathlessly report for hours. It's unbelievable. You know, I heard that statement. You know, the way I heard that word over here. You know, they took the word out infinite amount of time. They've reported they're going to look at data. Oh, my gosh. It's just incredible when you really stop and think about how every word the Federal Reserve utters is mega report, over-reported. There's just really not any real news. That's what that really tells you. So let's talk about the different interest rates, because I think they're going to raise rates. And I just said, I don't think the interest rates are going to raise, at least not the ones that matter. What am I talking about? Or am I the perfect politician talking out of both sides of my mouth? I'll let you decide. Short-term interest rates are what the Federal Reserve controls, not long-term. So let's break this down just a little bit. It's very important to understand in this whole market move and who's doing what. The Federal Reserve controls the short-term interest rates as set by the Fed, meaning overnight lending to banks, each other in the Federal Reserve system, overnight lending rates. Right now we're at zero. They may raise it to a quarter point, a half a point. They may go all the way to 1% in the next year. Can you imagine? That means the long bond is going to do what? It means nothing to the long bond. The long bond is not like it goes up in lockstep. It goes up for different reasons. And I say, well, short term, what does that matter? Well, you might make a quarter of a point now on your savings account if we get all the way to like 1%. Well, that would be okay. It's not a bad thing. No, because you don't borrow on that part of the curve. You don't borrow at the Federal Reserve rate. Rates have to rise a lot to actually impact even the floors that are out there for floating rate notes and things like that. I digress. I want to make sure this is basic and understood. Short-term rates are what the Fed sets. They do not control or set long-term rates. Think of it this way. The thing that matters to you always, because every other rate is set off of this, and I do mean every other rate. Every other rate everywhere in the world is set off the 10-year Treasury. The 10-year U.S. Treasury. That's the rate. That's the one that matters. That's the one that sets mortgage rates. That's the one that sets municipal bond rates. It's the competitor to municipal bond rates. It's the one that sets lending rates for your autos. For your Visa card. For all the world off of that. It's the big competitor, the most liquid, the safest. It sets the bar. It sets the bar for high-yield bonds, for high-quality corporate bonds. It sets the yield for 5-year bonds, for 15-year bonds, even though it's a 10. It is the cornerstone of all the bond market. And the Federal Reserve does not set that rate. The market does. So when we raise the short-term rate, and I think we'll have some raises, and I wouldn't even begin to try to fathom a guess. Oh, I think it'll be 1% at the end of the year. Well, lucky guess. But most of the people will guess wrong as to whatever that number is. Just like when I pick a number on the roulette wheel, I'm wrong most all the time. Well, precisely, one time in 38 on the wheel, I would be right. That's how it works. So everybody can guess. Once in a while, people will be right. It doesn't really matter. Short-term rates are not the long-term. And here's why, on the long-term, I don't think they're going higher. And I know there's a mountain of debt. And as I've said all along, until we have some kind of velocity of money, it doesn't matter how much they print. It doesn't matter. It's just sitting in the banks and not rifling through the system. We do not have an inflationary problem. Could we? Of course. Will we? I don't know. Things are not going to stay static forever. They don't. They change. That's kind of the nature of life. What is today is not going to be tomorrow. But all we can know is what has just transpired or what is happening now. And so we freak out about what's happening now and don't actually buy things that are out of favor now. It's just a whole process we go through in life. At any rate, long-term rates are controlled by the markets. And here's what the competitive forces are on the markets right now. A 10-year German bond is 1%. One. Do you want a strong dollar and 2%? Or would you like a weaker currency and 1? Okay, I know you had to think about that a really long time. How about Italian bonds? You know, that debt-laden place makes good wine, I guess. But man, they can't get their budget right. Do you want 2.3% Italian bonds or 2.3% U.S. Treasury 10-year bonds? Me too. That's the competition. The competition is the global interest rate environment, which is extraordinarily low. I think long rates could actually decline. But I don't see any pressure for long interest rates, 10-year bonds, that fix mortgages, loans, borrowings for corporations. I don't see any of that changing into this beautiful tailwind of an environment, even as the Federal Reserve may, and I would encourage them to, they have an opportunity to, the economy is improving, increase interest rates on the short end. So when we think about that, and we think about the rise in interest rates, right? And we think about that, we look at it and go, interest rates have to rise. Remember? We knew at the beginning of 2013 that interest rates had to go up. But we sure knew at the beginning of 2014 they had to go up. Had to. Man, they don't have to do anything that you think the world, the future, is going to do. You know? Don't. We're wrong all the time. We're wrong the vast majority of the time about the future because we're too negative about the future. Future is much more positive than we think it'll be all the time, because technology solves the problems. We draw the line. Remember when I was growing up? And by the way, I'm 53 years old. So anybody around my age, remember the film strips in junior high school? You know, with the toxic kind of bubbling water in the rivers? In that day... You couldn't swim in a lot of the great rivers, right? In New York, you wouldn't walk by it on a windy day because the mist would hit you and your face would fall off because the Hudson was so toxic. You can swim in it today with more people. But that's not possible because I watched a film strip that knew absolutely certainly that the world would be orange. Remember? Remember the orange world pictures we had growing up? More people. Same amount of food, we starve to death. That was billions of people ago. Malthus started the whole straight line, nothing has ever solved problems, no problems are resolved. Thought process. We all go through that. But to me, as we look at this, it's most important to understand where interest rates are set. And as we are determined that interest rates are going higher, and that certainly will kill the stock market. Will it? Will it? Kind of been said for a long time. I don't know. I kind of doubt it. And that would be my 2015 and beyond prediction, that rise in interest rates, short-term interest rates, the only thing that the Federal Reserve controls. You might say, well, they've been controlling the long. They have, by being a big buyer. Now they don't have to be. They've stepped away. Why haven't interest rates gone way higher? I think it's pretty easy. Look around the world. Which bonds, if you're going to put it in bonds, are you going to buy? The U.S. Treasuries is what you're going to buy. And that's what sets the rates, not the short term. It's the long term that sets the rates that matter. So the interest rate rise that matters, I don't believe is going to occur next year. We have to understand that differential between short-term rates and long. What does the Fed really do? They set short-term rates. The market competing for money openly. And yes, it can be distorted by the Federal Reserve coming in and buying bonds. I totally get that. And it was distorted. It's not right now. Competition for money sets long-term rates. I don't see any pressure for rates to rise. We'll see what comes up, because really, I don't think that I'll see something, say, in January 1st of next year that changes my tune. It might occur in October or May, or it maybe occurs 18 months from now or 15 months and 3 days when we reassess, as we always do all along. Right? Again, this January thing is just a moment to reflect. For all of us, on what we want to do, setting our goals and objectives, moving ahead. And think about, stop and contemplate what's cheap and what's dear in this world. And I'll tell you what's still actually, relative to other bonds, cheap are U.S. Treasuries. I wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole. That's not my point. Because relative to them, stocks are way cheaper. Right? Especially the dividend pairs. Our number is 580-543-6580-KIDO. Looking for your thoughts about like 15 and beyond, right? What do you think? What do you think? And what general questions do you have? Please do give us a call at 580-KIDO or shoot us an email, dave@petzofinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzl. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Matters with Dave Petzl on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO is our number. I don't have any phone calls, and that's very disappointing. It is disappointing, seriously. We're talking 2015. It's cold. It's cold outside. It is really cold. You can't be out doing much. Give us a call. You got to have some questions we had in the year about whether your asset allocation is correct. You want to chime in on a 2015 thought. 2015 and beyond, love to hear from you. And if you prefer email, that's fine. It's dave@petzofinancial.net. Let's go ahead and go to an email right now on 529 plans. Well, this is not a prediction, and of course, if you don't have a prediction, I appreciate that. Thank you, Mike. Any questions, great, all the time. I do have a question dealing with the future for our grandkids. The Idaho Ideal Plan only allows investments in index funds. While the tax break for these plans are okay, I agree. It's decent. The limited choice in available funds to invest in is minimal. Your discussion a few weeks ago regarding index funds would lead me to believe that the tax break with these funds is completely offset by the relatively poor performance of index funds long-term compared to actively managed funds. Am I thinking about this correctly, or am I misinformed? Mike, thank you. Excellent. Let's first of all start with the tax break on there. It's actually pretty good because you do get a tax break for Idaho. So assuming you're in, say, a 7% tax bracket, you can put up to $8,000 in and get that break. That's $560, $600. You can go up to about 8% in Idaho. Pretty easily, the tax rate in Idaho climbs to 8%. So that's a decent tax break to start. Now, let's talk about index versus active. There is a place for index. There's a place for active both. I don't think that you can broadly say that within these plans that being in an index is going to be devastating to you, and here's why. Most of the plans have additional expenses, including these index funds, that the state of Idaho takes. Now, I don't mean they're like thieves, okay? It's just, understand, they're getting a tax break. It's not a free tax break. There's a cut that comes to the state. There's a cut from the money managers in those states that for the active managers as well. So it takes that cost and moves it up a little bit higher. I think the state of Idaho, with the tax break, and you're talking about smaller dollars typically. Now, I'm not saying if somebody wants to say, you know, for estate planning reasons and all that, we're going to move $250,000 plus into an account for education, various accounts, which some people do. But for most, 99% of the plans, you are talking about starting a plan. Like I'm going to be, because I'm going to be a grandpa very soon, by the way. I'm so excited, right? So I'm going to start one for my grandchild and contribute to it. And then anybody else can contribute to it if they want to. If they don't want to, I certainly will. So that money will build up for the grandchild in that fund. But it's smaller dollars. So any differential in management is not going to be huge, certainly in the early years. I think with the tax break, the fact that the plan has several different options, meaning you can go right into growth. You don't have to be in some kind of a big bond portfolio when you're talking about 18 years from now. You can invest in stocks. I would use the IDEAL program. I think it's very, very good program cost-wise, benefit-wise, tax break-wise. We recommend our clients go there, other than those occasional estate planning reasons where you would talk about a very large contribution to that. When we're talking about active management over passive management, those are long, long-term decisions, not year-to-year, because this will be another year where all you hear is a drumbeat of the average manager can't outperform the index. They're right, because the index of the S&P 500 is being driven by a very few companies. Again, in a year like this, it's virtually impossible when you're talking about one tiny index that does not balance you with the whole world, because the European index is down. Emerging market index is down. Bonds aren't doing anything. Small cap is barely up for the year. Taken all together, 2014 was not all that hot a year. I saw a lot. There's a lot of corrections going on out there, including in energy and things like that. So I thought it was a good pause year. But the indices did, being the indices. No, the index, as measured by the S&P 500, and only the S&P 500, did great. But surely the S&P 50 to 100 stocks completely drive that index. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Mike, thank you. And if I didn't completely answer your question, please give me a holler. But I do like the IDEAL program. I think it's a super program for the tax benefit and cost. Okay? And with that, let's take a break here for Fox News. Let's get on that board. What are your thoughts for 2015 or your general questions regarding finances? We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzel. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Petzel on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. We'd love to have you join us online. It is on the phone. It is 580-5436. It's 580-KIDO. If you prefer, email Dave at Petso, P-E-T-S-O, financial.net. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Doug in Caldwell. Doug, thanks for calling.
Good morning, Dave. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Doug. Thanks.
Dave, I'm fortunate enough to qualify for a pretty good bonus on my job from 2014.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't actually taken the bonus yet, but trying to figure out how to do a deferred compensation plan to try to postpone receipt of the bonus until such time my tax rate might be lower. Can you give me any ideas on how to set up a deferred compensation plan, please?
Yes. Well, first of all, you're not with a state, right? So we're not talking about a qualified.
Yeah, it's private.
It's private? Okay. It's difficult at this stage. It takes some time to think it through. I think you're probably not going to be able to handle it for this year. Are you self-employed?
No, sir, I'm not.
Okay. How many people are there?
You mean at my employer?
Yep.
Oh, call it 100.
Oh, so.
Salaried and wages.
Okay. Well, if you're talking about a substantial bonus here, one of the things you can do is talk to your employer about the possibility of setting up a long-term deferred compensation, meaning, hey, I'm willing to stay here for the next X number of years, and at the end of that period of time, you would, say, receive income over a designated period of time. A couple of different problems. It cannot be set aside and guaranteed separately. So it is going to be, you're going to become a regular creditor of the corporation to do that under a deferred compensation arrangement. Okay?
Okay, yeah.
So now, if that's possible to do with your employer, then you can address it. It typically, since we're talking about what do we do, like right this instant, like in the next week, right? Because we have to make this decision now, right?
In the next week or two, correct.
Right. So very, very difficult to do that over a short period of time where different parties are saying, yeah, that's agreeable that this is or is not. Because you can't just simply say, this one year, I want to defer that. Unless they say, fine, we'll write you a check for your bonus in 2015. At least you have a year then.
Right.
Okay. But that's about all you can do is to have them write the check in 15, which it sounds like it kind of is being written in 15, right?
Yeah, unless I do a deferred compensation, correct.
Okay. Well, maybe there's a possibility, but the deferred comp you would have some time this way, right? So, you're going to get hammered on this check, but one possibility then is to say, if we can get this worked out over the next year, then maybe I could defer some of my salary at the end of the year so it equals you out. It neutralizes this big bonus up front.
Okay.
But other than that, I'm sure you've done the simple stuff, right? Max out the 401k?
For sure.
Okay.
Yes.
So you've maxed that out. You've done everything you can. You know what? Sometimes you just have to pay the tax and move on. These are complicated programs, and I would walk gently into them. And, Doug, if you want to talk more, we can obviously do that. But offline, because this is a very, it's complicated, and it depends how many years you've been there. All of those things have to be agreed by both parties. It's not something you're going to decide in the next 2 weeks, I believe. It's
okay.
Way more than that.
All right. I appreciate your input, Dave.
All right, Doug. Appreciate it. And I'm glad you had a good year, though. That's great.
Yeah, no, it was a good year. Maybe another good one this year, hopefully.
Hopefully so. Hopefully
right.
So. Doug, thank you for your call. Have a great, happy new year now.
All right, same to you.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. What are your thoughts on 2015, or anything for that matter? Deferred compensation, bond funds, what have you. Happy to talk to you. What we're going to do is so we can stay on track here, I'm going to go to a commercial break and not be behind schedule. I know it totally freaks out. Ronaldo in there, he's used to running way behind. We're going to do that at 580-5436-580-KIDO. Dave@PetzoFinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436-Idaho's place to talk. KIDO, Idaho's place to talk. We'll be right back.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Love to hear from you at 580-5436, 580-KIVO. So do ring us up. Hey, before I get to this email, I wanted to toss out one more, maybe two more thoughts. One more on the 2015 climate thoughts, thinking about energy. I mean, we got to talk about energy prices, right? What are they going to do? I don't know what oil's going to do. Golly, nobody called this 50% cut. But here's what I do know. All energy is self-correcting. All commodities are self-correcting. There's too much corn, they grow less. Too much oil, they stop drilling. If prices are low, they're not profitable, the geniuses that run the energy companies recognize maybe we shouldn't spend a whole bunch of money. Look, it's pretty common basic stuff. But it really does have an immediate impact. Do I mean like this second? Yes, on CapEx budgets for the next year. Did they stop drilling the well they're currently drilling? Of course not. But they're not going to drill the next one. Or they're not going to drill the next five, they're going to drill two instead. Some companies are cut their budget completely. Energy prices? Yeah. I think they probably, I don't mean tomorrow, heck. I have no idea what tomorrow is going to bring anyway. My best guess, though, is a year from now, prices will be moving higher. I don't know if they go to 100. I don't know. But energy looks kind of attractive if you buy companies that are going to stay in business, which is, of course, the trick, isn't it? Yeah, you can try to find a home run in that E&P company, exploration and production, sorry. That little company, it's highly levered. It's down 90% from its highs. You're right. If they stay in business some magical way, that's going to be a multi-bagger you're going to hit right there. Nice gamble. Good job. That's what it is. The little ones are gambles. But the big ones that have good balance sheets, long-range production, but have also gone down. But you're right. They haven't gone down 50, 70, 80%. They've gone down a lot less. But I think they're staying in business, too. Now, let's go ahead and grab a quick email here. Good morning, Dave. I've been listening to your radio program for years and really appreciate the great commentary. Thank you. Thank you very much. Would you mind offering your thoughts on where mortgage REITs might be headed in terms of share prices and dividend yields over the next few years? Thanks very much for any insight you might care to offer, Tom. Thank you, Tom. Great question. Really great question. Mortgage REITs have been kind of disappointing to me. And it's been one of those things where I thought we would sneak out some yield. They always disintegrate in price. They always do. That's just an automatic thing. Their prices go down over time. They do because of leverage. It ends up eating up some of its own principal. Always. Always. But if you get these super high yields and only have a small erosion of the net asset value, they can be good holdings. To me, they've been very disappointing. We've had a very flat to down mortgage interest rate environment, and the prices have eroded tremendously, and the yields now are more along the lines of what current interest rates are. So they have not, to me, delivered as promised. So I'm not very positive about them, generally speaking. Okay? Now, where do I think they're going forward? I think that because they've been a general disappointment, probably they have overshot to the downside. And you got to be careful because there's a lot of them out there. So I'm making a generalization here. I think that they're probably somewhat mispriced, that they've overshot to the downside with fear that interest rates are going to rocket higher and the leverage is going to work against them. So I think the prices right now are pretty reasonable. I think it's okay to hold in here. But know what you have. You have something that yields way more than it should, which means it is going to have problems price-wise at some point in time. It always does. Markets are not that far wrong. If something yields more than the market says it should. If something yields more, right? They remember where interest rates are set, right? I talked about this earlier today in the education segment. The 10-year Treasury, 2.2. That's where we're at, 2.2. That is the, quotes, risk-free 10-year interest rate. That's it. That's where all interest rates are set, all of them. That's where we divine whether we want to buy a growth of income story and say, you know, I love this 3% dividend. You might not love it so much if interest rates are at 8% on a 10-year treasury. But who doesn't want more yield with the hope, the historic promise of growth? Which is why everybody's buying consumer stocks and all these things that are paying 3% dividends at record price-to-earnings ratios for these companies. They're not growing great guns, but they provide yield that you can't get in the bond market. And they have growth of that yield, which you certainly don't get in the bond market. Okay? So, again, being aware of what that bond is at 2.2. And that's basically what they're doing, is buying around those mortgage bonds, right? And then they're levering it up. As short-term rates rise, be careful here, because that's where they're borrowing, is on the short-term end of the curve. So be careful with the mortgage ones. I think they're overly discounted against an increase in interest rates, so they probably can be bought. But remember, anything that's yielding 11, 12%, there's something wrong with it. Absolutely and certainly. And if you can't define it, don't buy it. Don't touch it, please. Our number is 580. Thank you very much for the email. And our email address is dave@petsofinancial.net. We're going to come up on our final segment. I'd love to hear from you. Love to have a call as we end our program together today. First show of 2015. We're kind of talking 2015 here, aren't we? 2015 and beyond is the way I prefer to think of it. It's so arbitrary, like we're going to nail what's going to go on in this 12-month period. No, we're not. The only prediction that's certain to occur is the prediction that virtually all predictions will be wrong for 2015. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzel. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Dave Petzel on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and welcome to 2015. If you have any comments, questions during the week, love to hear from you at our website. Go to petsofinancial.com, P-E-T-S-O-Financial.com. Lots of calculators, articles, podcasts for you. Also, of course, you can download the podcasts on the Apple Store anytime. But if you have comment, we'd love to hear from you, emails, whatever, suggestions. Just awesome. Just awesome to hear from you. So, because we do want to gear everything to be helping educate people. I want to finish today because it's just one of those times where we think about what, you know, is coming ahead, right? You know, it's that New Year's promise, if you will. Fresh slate. And it's interesting to me, we see what we're looking for. We see what we're looking for in everything, right? We see the absence of God. We see the evidence of God. It depends what you're looking for in everything, in the world and in people. We see the beautiful bride or the nagging spouse. We see what we're looking for. And we see that in the markets, don't we? We see that in our finances. We see the world as we perceive the world. We find the evidence of what we're looking for. We see the evidence of a world not that, in spite of an anti-business president, a do-nothing Senate, that a business world figures out how to get around that and operate efficiently and grow. We don't see that. We see what's wrong, and we miss great market moves. If we always see what's wrong, because that's what we're looking for, we're frozen. You have analysis paralysis. You're frozen out all the time. Or the only time you get in is when it's Happy Days Are Here Again, 1999. It's just so bright you got to wear shades. Wrong time. Again. Always is. Think like John Templeton did. Buy what's out of favor. What people don't want to. As he said, people ask the wrong question. Not what's good, but look for what's wrong to buy. Have a great 2015. We'll talk to you next week.
Money Matters is brought to you in part by Petzl Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Petzl, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional and an investment advisor representative with Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated. Registered representative securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisor representative Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated and Petzl Financial Consultants are not affiliated companies. These are the opinions of Dave Petzl and are based on information from sources believed to be reliable but may change as information changes or becomes outdated. Nor should any opinion contained herein be construed or considered as a solicitation to buy or sell any particular investment product. Indices mentioned are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. Asset allocation and diversification strategies cannot fully guarantee against loss. The past performance does not guarantee future results.